What's good, y'all? Welcome to the John Katz Show, episode number 57. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope everybody had a really nice weekend and a nice start to the week. Life can be nutty sometimes. Life is nutty lately. Is it just me? Is life nutty for y'all lately? How is everybody doing? I said recently that people don't ask each other enough how they're doing in a genuine way. I said that we should normalize doing that and normalize telling people that we're proud of them. There was a show or a movie. Gosh, I can't think of what it was. It was something like that. The character had just been going through a lot. Someone finally asked him, like, somebody tell me what this was. Someone said, how are you doing? Or how are you? And the guy, like, it was a guy, kind of like broke down, like, nobody's asked me that, you know? Yeah, I think some people that probably need to be asked that the most are not as forthcoming about opening up to people voluntarily with their feelings and such. But yeah, anyway, I haven't done in a minute, some listener topics. I reached out online and got some really good feedback, stuff people want to ask or want to hear about. So I'm going to get to those. Some crazy stuff going on lately. Maybe there'll be more developments by the time you hear some of this, but I guess they figured out what there was so much with that Titanic submarine I kept seeing so much about. I guess that's all been solved other than the conspiracy. People are very into their conspiracy theories. I'm not a big conspiracy. It's funny because I'm a cynic. I feel like it's gone so far in the other direction that, like, if you're cynical now, it's against some of these because everything's a conspiracy. The minute it happened, it's like, the people on board were part of this political group and this and that. Like, no, it seemed like amateur hour with these tours they were given down there. I don't see how they could have just got these guys in a capsule and I don't know. But to be honest, there is some credence to the original. There's a lot of conspiracy theory related stuff around the original sinking of the Titanic. Back then, I feel like you really could get away with some shit. I mean, what was that in the, I should know what year that was, but early 20th century, was that like in the 20s that happened? I mean, the limited way in which people were able to gather and receive information back then, forget it. But yeah, there does seem to be some credence, A, to the idea that it was sunk on purpose somehow based on the people that actually were on board that ship, but then also that it wasn't the actual Titanic. There's a lot of evidence around that as well, that it was some sort of insurance-related scam. I don't rule a lot of that stuff out. Oh, there's so many memes about, like, the death counts of the Titanic going up. Listen, I don't care if people are assholes. But people are, like, just assume because they're billionaires, they're terrible people, too. Unless somebody's, like, some evil, molester or serial killer or something, like, I'm not going to... Even then, I don't mock deaths, you know what I mean? Yes, I'd be happy to see certain elements removed from the earth, but, like, I probably still wouldn't tweet, like, a meme about it. Something still feels distasteful there. I don't like to sound holier than thou. I just, for me personally, not a big fan of, like, joking about deaths. Like, I see a lot of jokes about the Kobe stuff with the helicopter and this and that. That stuff always gives me a very uneasy feeling. What else is going on? There's a coup in Russia, I guess. I mean, look, as far as conspiracies go, you got to look at this type of stuff. The war for forever. The way that wars are started and the way that they're used for profit and manipulation and stuff that's beneath the surface and not really apparent to people. And this whole Russia-Ukraine thing has had some really strange aspects from the beginning. Now we just come to find out that billions... I don't want to get into the whole... Here's the thing with a lot of these topics. Everyone's talking about them. Everyone's talking. So if I have something unique to offer, I feel like I'll talk about certain subjects. With a lot of this political stuff, the reason I've stopped talking about it is because everyone gets it. Everyone's saying the same stuff. So, if I don't comment on a lot, and I know it's a lot of what people want to hear about, but if I don't comment on that stuff, it's just because, look, I feel like I don't, I've said it, either I've said it all till I'm blue in the face, or I have nothing more to add at the moment. And I feel like I do, I will. But yeah, the only thing I'd say about all that is, like, if you don't realize by now that our government has really become a uniparty, right? That has everyone squabbling over these two or three hot button issues well, they just continue with this industrial war complex that's really been running things for a long, long time. And I commented recently that the fact that warmongers somehow co-opted the hippies is quite the fucking feat. You know what I mean? Somehow they manage. People just have to kind of look objectively at what they're supporting and at what the people that they're supporting are actually doing. And if you vote someone in to represent you and you got a lot of problems in our country and they're squabbling over God knows what, throwing billions and trillions of dollars at God knows what, you kind of got to stop and look at the big picture of that for a minute, in my opinion. All right, so let me get to some of these listener topics and questions. I actually got a bunch of good ones. I really like to do more of these. You know, I like to communicate. So hit me up anytime. I always say email johncatshow@gmail.com or johncat79 on Twitter. You guys can remain anonymous. If there's ever anything you want to ask or hear about, I enjoy doing these. I'm going to try to do it, you know, every few episodes, slip a bunch of these in. All right. So this first one comes from Gigi on Twitter. And Gigi asked, have you ever changed people's minds on positions they held strongly? And is it worth it to try when you know their positions are wrong or misled? Yeah, that's interesting. Have I ever changed people's minds? Yeah, I think so. I think I talk about this a lot, actually. I think the way that people go about, it's funny, everything is like very counterintuitive with all of that stuff. When it comes to, I don't even want to say changing people's minds. I like to think of it as like evolving someone's opinions on stuff. I've had it happen with me. And I'm really rigid in stuff that I've given a lot of thought to. And I know a lot of people think that I'm misguided or misled. You know, when it comes to opinions, that's exactly what it is. And I can believe in my truest, deepest heart of hearts that I'm right, but that other person really does too. So you have to start from a point understanding that. Like you have to actually think, okay, this person is as confident in their viewpoint, even if in my opinion, they're totally insane and wrong. They're as confident in their viewpoint as I am with mine. And this ties into like my main rants on everything, which is basically the commonalities and the common ground. You know, there's a way to disagree with people while agreeing with them. It's that yes and stuff I talk about with the improv or whatever that I'd stolen off Adam Carolla. It's that on an emotional level. It's okay, where do we agree and get along? And then when you find that commonality, I think you do have a lot more luck than finding more commonalities and that evolving into the areas where you really thought you couldn't agree at all. Because people get into a very defensive posture and people are very prideful of stuff that they feel that they've given a lot of thought and analysis to. And if you're someone who's read a bunch of stuff and watched a bunch of stuff and you've debated a bunch of people and you have this really strong opinion, yeah, you're not just going to give that up willy-nilly to somebody in a conversation, even if they're making great points. But I think you can. I don't think you'll change people's minds 99% of the time, but you know what? That 1% of the time, it may be worth it. And then a lot of times, I think what happens is people in the moment, they're not going to give it to you. But actual, thoughtful, authentic people will let certain stuff marinate. And I've had that happen, and I've had it happen in reverse with me, where I've sat with something, I went, you know what? I didn't think about it correctly. And that person actually made a really fair point. So yeah, I'd say it's worth it. You got to know your audience. You know, some stuff is just general. So I throw a lot of stuff out there on social media. I say a lot of stuff on this pod. So I don't know the effect or the butterfly effect some of that may have had. I always say if even it's helped one person, then that's worth it. So your question is it worth it? I'd say definitely worth it. You kind of know your audience too. So if there's a friend or family member that you know is just really rigid and yeah, don't beat your head against the wall with somebody who's not open, with someone who's not willing to have even an intellectually honest conversation with you. Yeah, don't do that. But, and with a lot of things, here's my main thing with all that stuff is it doesn't matter. Is it important? Because really the last thing anybody should be doing is giving a lot of energy, especially any kind of like combative negative energy, to shit that doesn't even matter, right? Like people are debating each other in a heated way over stuff that's not even personally affecting them. And if you have no personal skin in that game, it's not affecting your life in a meaningful way, or if it's not somebody you really care about, yeah, don't drive yourself nuts. So I'd say, yeah, I'd say you got to feel out the individual situations, but I'd say overall, for those few rare times where it happens, it makes it all worth it. And I'd say there's a way to just do it in a tactful, graceful way without being divisive and argumentative. And I hope that answered your question. Thank you. All right, let's keep these going. I got another one from Katie who says, what is your favorite and least favorite part of Twitter / social media? And would you tell your younger self to avoid Twitter and social media if you could go back? Least favorite is easy. I say it all the time. The divisiveness, the tribalism, the people turning their whole personalities into some stupid, manufactured, divisive issue that they've been told to think about by a bunch of people who want the divisiveness and want everybody squabbling over nonsense. So yeah, 100% that. It's 100% everyone just squabbling over complete, utter, nonsensical bullshit over and over and over and just beating it to death. And with the previous question talked about changing someone's mind, none of those people have ever changed anyone's minds acting that way. And then it's one tweet in and it's all the personal insults and forget it. Not only aren't they accomplishing anything, they're just making it 10 times worse. And yeah, it doesn't exist in real life in the same way, but it's bleeding in a little bit. It is. It's bleeding into society a little bit. And I don't know how we get away from that combativeness. Everyone seems as dug in as ever as far as social media goes. So that's for sure the worst aspect. The best, my favorite, it's, for me, my favorite is like sharing music and stuff like that. But then certain interactions, just the complete opposite of what we're talking about. You know, I randomly had somebody today just say, hey, John, you're always saying nice things to everyone else. Like, I hope you have an amazing week, something like that. Nice messages. I had an interaction. I'll tell you what, this is a good example. I had an interaction like a month ago where, you know, I'm like one of these hypochondria, typical Jew people that knows a lot about a lot of different medical conditions, just from my family and from myself and everything else. Full disclaimer, I know shit about medicine. I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me. But I tweeted something like, hey, by the way, it's funny because I wasn't saying it as a suggestion. Then I realized after I said it that it kind of read that way. I was just kind of saying it as a funny fact about myself. So that was even made it more interesting because I said, if you tell me about your ailments or illness or something, I'll turn into a Jewish mother with all the suggested remedies. I was basically just saying that's how I am in real life, because if people say to me, oh, I have this thing in my knee, like I always have a million medical suggestions of how to treat it or what it could be. And yes, I'm that guy that I think I know better than the doctors. And I don't think I know better than them, but I know I'm paying more attention than them. See, that's the thing. People go, you don't know more than a doctor. Yeah, but I got more skin in that game, right? So if I do have some weird thing, a lot of these doctors, man, they're seeing 50 patients a day. That guy doesn't give a shit about me. He's in and out. He's looking at a clipboard. He's going here, take some ibuprofen. And I'm not saying that that's how they all are. But if I'm home actually researching it, he's not doing 20 hours of research on my condition. No fucking way. Maybe if I see some high-end specialist, whatever, whatever. But like if I go to the ER with some condition, forget it. And listen, with the way the internet is now, with the way... I know they say don't Google stuff, fine. If you know where to look, that's real doctors and real shit that's online too. Those are real cases as well. And this random dude you're seeing in your town, he might not even know. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. I got so far off the point of what I was trying to say originally. But yes, so I had tweeted, hey, and some guy said, hey, do you know what to do about earwax? Get compacted earwax out. And this is actually something I personally dealt with because it got really bad. I'm prone to, you know, the deep wax buildup, but maybe like 15 to 20 years ago, I had gone on a trip with my dad and sister and I was swimming a lot. And after the trip, I was totally deaf in one ear for a good week or two. I mean, it felt like when you have water just totally completely clogged in your ear, but it wouldn't go away. And it was driving me crazy and I kept hopping around and thinking I'd get it out. Finally, I went to an ear, nose, throat guy. And he goes, oh, you got compacted wax or whatever. And he took this like little suction tube and he had a scooper. He, not to get gross, he pulled a pebble out of my right ear. I swear it was a rock. It was a hard, dark pebble. And when this thing came out, the air just went, whew. I mean, the air went, it was immediate relief. It was the most orgasmic, amazing feeling ever. It was immediately, holy shit, I can hear better than I can my whole life. It was a whew. And then since that time, every year or two or so, when my ears start to build up a little bit, or I can feel like one ear or both ears is a little clogged, I'll go to an ENT. So for anyone out there trying these home earwax remedies, forget it. You literally go to an, you go, hey, I need to get compacted earwax removal. They all know what you're talking about. They either have a long scooper or a sucker or both. And you're in there like 10 minutes and it doesn't hurt. And they just take it out. So I told the dude this. I said, hey, the only thing that works is you go to an ENT and they'll take it out and it'll feel amazing. You'll be a new person. The dude went the next day and he replied and said he's a whole new man, that it was amazing and quick and painless and that it completely worked and that nothing else worked. That shit makes me feel so good. So I guess, what was this question? My favorite. That's my favorite part of Twitter. Shit like that. And it doesn't happen often, but I think I just made a real difference in this dude's life because he was walking around with clogged ears trying all these earwax remedies. And if I didn't say that stupid joke about me being a Jewish mother, he wouldn't have asked. I wouldn't have told him. And he went the next day and now he feels better. That's fucking amazing. Like, that's the kind of stuff when you look at technology and you go, you know, everyone's like, can we? And I'm so guilty of it. Let's go back to the 90s and how amazing it was. And it was amazing for so many reasons, but we couldn't communicate and connect with each other on anywhere near this sort of level. And I think if we can keep our intentionality in the right place and not keep going down this strange, divisive tribal path, I think then the benefits can far outweigh the negatives, even if it doesn't feel that way right now. And the second part of that question, if I could go back, would I not use social? No, I would definitely not change it. Here's the thing. I've never been a big social guy. I was the guy that posted one picture a year on Facebook or something like that. If that, you know, I went through stages earlier in my life with MySpace and then Facebook, fine. But even with Twitter, I didn't have my real name and my picture wasn't really my picture for a long time. And then it was kind of like this artistic, you know, people do, like, you can't really tell what I look like fully with a fake name. And, you know, I guess I got big on there like 2016 and I was doing a lot of that, but I didn't want my real name and face and identity out there and all that. It was really this pod that made me put my real identity onto social media. Cause I was like, if I'm doing a pod, then I got to put myself on there and share it and share clips and interact. So I did. And now I'm comfortable with it. I have had my real name and face on there for, you know, 3 years now plus or whatever. And again, for me personally, my negative interactions are pretty minimal because I try not to be a fucking asshole to people. But also, here's the real reason I wouldn't go back and change it, because I've met some lifelong people that I think I'll just know forever. And if I didn't go on there, then I wouldn't have. And so for that alone, I wouldn't change it. And again, just net or whatever, on balance, it's for sure been an overall positive experience. And I think, again, it comes down to intentionality and how you use these things. And I also think it's good to not live in that space too long and to take breaks from it and not let it define your actual real life existence, and to really just be able to compartmentalize it as it's being its own thing. Twitter, social, that's its own thing. It's not real life. It's just this thing I do that I get enjoyment out of. And if I'm not getting enjoyment out of it, then I shouldn't be doing it. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much, Katie. And moving on, we got one from Beansy. And Beansy says, what's one thing people misunderstand about you, and what qualities do you admire most in others? I'll start with the what do I admire most in others, because that's the easier one to answer. The stuff I admire most in others, I actually talk about a lot, is the stuff I admire most in others, honestly, is stuff that I feel I've always lacked in. So just for one, when I see these people who like really have a motor, that's something I always admire, because I can't feel that. I can't relate to that. I've never been able to relate. These people that really have a deep drive, right? And I don't mean, look, there's some really miserable people out there, right? I'm not saying anybody that just grinds their ass off is who I'm talking about, but I guess it's the passion aspect. The people who have, they know their purpose, they know their passion, and they just go for it, and they don't let anything stop them, and they're go, 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 and nothing's going to stand in their way. When I see people who are genuinely and authentically like that, and they have that good heart and intention to go along with it, like, I admire those people more than anything. I'm inspired by those people more than anything. The main character traits I love about people just in general is authenticity, obviously. Just people who are genuine, people who are comfortable being themselves, people who can make fun of themselves and make fun of other people in a fun way. So, like, obviously humor, lightheartedness, that's huge. Thoughtfulness, intelligence, grace. I like people you could sit in a room with and feel comfortable. I don't know fully how you define that thing. I've tried to define it a lot, but that's the main thing I like. I like people you can sit and calmly feel their energy and everybody's very comfortable. And as far as admire, I admire also people that like, I admire people that are real experts in stuff. So, like, you know, again, if someone devotes their life to a passion, but they become, you know, the world-renowned expert physicist on black holes or whatever, or the dude's just like the best cabinet maker in the world, right? Or someone who's an amazing singer or guitarist or painter or whatever, piano, whatever it is. If someone's just truly amazing at something and has devoted their life to just being, you know, goated at that craft, that I admire and am inspired by a lot. And then, you know, to go along with that, people who then break molds and do things other people haven't done and create things other people haven't created and come up with original things, because that's very rare. So those people, I'm very inspired by them. I hope that answers your question. Thank you. All right, moving along. This comes from the girl Aggie Reekin. Shout out, she's been on the show. Aggie says, what are things people do to comfort themselves? Now, I don't think she's asking, like, what are things people do objectively? I think she's asking more like, what are things people do that work? Like, what should people do? Kind of that connotation. Because what do people do? They drink and do drugs and bang hookers and watch a lot of porn. No. They sleep a lot. They eat a lot. It's actually a topic I've talked about a lot. To actually comfort yourself, to truly comfort yourself, I won't go into the whole inner child thing again and the inner bonding and all that. If you want, you can go back previous. I had Dr. Margaret Paul on. Check out her book, Inner Bonding. That's how you really comfort yourself, is you sit in almost in a meditative state and you talk to yourself and you allow yourself to feel real emotions and you be brutally honest with yourself, which people cannot do. They at least can't seem to. I can't speak for other people. People can't seem to do that. I know how hard it is, really, to kind of dispel certain rigid beliefs and things that you've, you know, hardened so deeply with and built walls up with and everything else. So, yeah, I think the way to really comfort yourself is, again, it's not to push feelings away. If you're pushing feelings away, you're not comforting yourself. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're not comforting yourself. If you're feeling sad or anxious or depressed, chances are you're feeling those things because you're not properly comforting. The way to actually comfort, and I don't know shit. I know what works for me and gets me through some tough times and things like that, and things I've read and things I've learned, and a lot of it's been really relatively recently. So take it all with a grain of salt or don't. I can only share my personal anecdotal experiences. However, yeah, the only way I have found to truly dispel a negative feeling is to allow yourself to fully feel it and to understand why you're feeling it and then go through the process of kind of releasing it out the other side. And I know that's abstract and I know it sounds easier said than done, but and maybe that feels a little different for everybody, but I think anyone thinking about comforting themselves, I would just say, think about the long term, try to think about stuff as objectively as possible. And then try to allow your stuff to actually feel what you're feeling and to be brutally honest with yourself as to why you're feeling it. And then let yourself know you're allowed to feel it. Because like I say it all the time, what really upsets people and what really trips people up is this idea that we get more upset at the feeling itself. We get more upset that we're feeling this thing and that we're not supposed to, and it's bad. And it becomes this cycle of, I feel this sadness, therefore I feel this sadness, therefore I feel this sadness. And why do I feel this? It's like, rather than just saying, okay, let me feel it, let me absorb it, let me process it, let me learn from it. And then if you can flip that negative into a positive by learning the lesson from it, then ultimately, yes, that's how you're going to gain the most comfort. But look, a lot of things just fucking hurt. A lot of things just suck. And sometimes there's nothing we can really do to speed up that process. Even in the best case scenario, it's going to hurt like hell to go through, just because that's part of life. And a lot of life is pain. And I guess that alone, just kind of saying, hey, everyone feels this way. Everyone goes through this kind of stuff. Everyone suffers. No one gets through life without the suffering. You know, that alone also does alleviate a lot of the, you know, woes me, maybe self-loathing type aspects that go along with some of those negative conflicts and feelings. So thank you, Aggie. Appreciate it. And see you soon. And the next one comes from Foo. Also part of the, listen, check these Foo, Aggie, all those guys. They're over on KLRN. Giving them a free plug, klrmradio.com. Check them out. It's a whole really nice, smart, fun, gracious family over there. They got a bunch of cool podcasts. So check those guys out. Fu said, quote, taxation is theft. That was her topic. Yes, Fu, it is. Why do we have, what is it, 87,000 IRS agents? Did I even get that right? Don't quote me on that. It's some insane number. Sheesh. I said recently, if you showed the current IRS structure and tax code to our forefathers, they would have simultaneous strokes and heart attacks, all of them. And I know we started the tax system. And again, don't quote me on any of this. I believe we started the tax system as a way to pay for Civil War stuff, which I was looking up and reading about recently. But man, what it's become, like, what is going on? And here's the thing. Talk about stuff that's convoluted and overbloated and abstract that nobody can understand. It's one thing if you're going to have a tax and have everything run smoothly. Like, even that alone really gets away from the spirit of the nation. But I think people could swallow that pill. If everyone was paying like 10% across the board, 20% across the board, and then everything was smooth and we had secure borders, and we had a healthy military, and we had healthy roads and bridges and hospitals and airports, and all of these governmental systems ran properly, and we weren't $30 trillion in debt, and on and on and on, people will go, okay, there's money's going somewhere. It's really where it's the fact that people feel like they're given half of what they earn away, literally half, between your income tax federal, then you might have state, all the other taxes you're paying, property taxes are through the roof, with sales taxes and taxes and fees on top of everything else. Like, pretty much everyone's given half their money to the government at this point, right? And then their solution to everything is, well, we'll tax people more and we'll tax rich people more and we'll tax... Brother, it feels like theft, to quote Fu, because you give all this money and then you don't know where it goes. And then you look around and you say, wait a minute, I just gave the government half of all the money that I earn, and everyone of my friends and family is too. You look around and everything's falling to shit, and then the debt keeps going up. So where's it all going? In an ideal situation, yes, the tax code would fit on an index card. It would just be flat rate. Everyone pays debt. Everyone paid 15%. Done. Don't talk about it again. 15%. Done. And then give me a receipt. Imagine, that's the other thing. People spend more money on taxes than they spend on pretty much anything else in their lives. And you don't even get any sort of receipt with it. You don't get an invoice. You don't get anything showing this, because they don't know. They don't know where your money's just going to interest anyway. Like, they couldn't even give that to you if they wanted to. That's how convoluted and bloated and indiscernible it's become. So yeah, it's already a completely broken system that's so far away from the original design. And then people to then say, just tax more and more and more. I can't understand the logic of a lot of this stuff. So yeah, Fu, I agree with you there. Thank you for the question. I hope I answered it. Moving on, Andrew. Andrew says, why are candy corn and circus peanuts denigrated by society? Because they're ass, Andrew. In all fairness, here's the deal. Candy corn is not terrible. And I would actually sit if I was hungry enough with a bag of those candy corn, especially if they had like the chocolate ones, and like the original ones are okay. I actually like the ones with a little chocolate instead of the white part. They're not terrible. Bro, if you're eating circus peanuts, that's actually a problem. Those should be denigrated by society. Here's the thing. Nobody would ever like choose to eat that as a snack. Imagine you went over to somebody's house and they actually had options of like real candy, like some Reese's cups and some peanut M&Ms or something. And you saw them whip out a bag of fucking circus peanuts and just decide to eat those intentionally. I don't think I probably haven't eaten more than three circus peanuts in my whole life. Like if I was in a setting where there was literally nothing around and some poor kid was saddled with a bag of them, maybe I stole one or two because I just had to like put something in my mouth. I don't know. I would never buy or sit down with a bag of circus peanuts in my life. Sorry, Andrew, if that's your favorite candy, I'll give you some consideration on the candy corn, but yeah, not the circus peanuts, my guy. Sorry. Thank you. I hope answered your question. Next we have Shay. Shay says, quote, your stellar hair game. She's talking about my hair being stellar. Just in case that wasn't clear. I don't show my hair. I think I did one episode without the hat. Listen, South Florida is not conducive to good hair. It's very fluffy. And I have the kind of hair that gets really frizzy anyway. Like it's curly and it's got that texture that just frizzes right up. And when it's long like this, but not long, you know, it doesn't have like the weight that it should have to really sit. So, you know, I look like 2006 Eddie Vedder, I think, sometimes on a good day. Yeah, no, the hair's a point of contention in my life, Shay. I gotta be honest. It's a very polarizing topic. Some people love it, the curls and the length. Some people think it makes me look like a homeless person. But yeah, I keep it long. I like the long hair, and maybe I keep it long for those few times where I'm not down in Florida and I'm up in like New York or something in the winter, and I can be like, look at my long flowy hair. That's not a big frizz ball. But thank you, Shay, for calling it stellar. It made me feel good, and now I'm not going to cut it. I appreciate you. Hope I answered that question. Thank you. And then coming in with the last one, we have Gwen. And Gwen says, quote, I'd like to hear more about you. I don't know, Gwen. I talk about myself a lot. I think I get what you mean. I got into a lot of my personal life stuff. I don't get into even a lot of the benign things, to be honest. You don't hear me talking about like my family and them too much. I think part of that's just out of respect to other people and people in my life. And then with specific things I've gone through and all that, I've said, you know, I can't just talk about stuff without also talking about other people's lives. And it's tricky. It's a delicate balance. But yeah, for me, for my own psyche, I think that's like all I talk. People are probably tired of hearing about the inner workings of my brain and all. You know, what do you want to know? I'm 44. Been in South Florida most of my life, grew up in Virginia, been in sales in some capacity most of my life. Pretty simple dude, pretty small circle, pretty simple needs and activities. Hang out with the family a little bit, maybe play a little golf, maybe barbecue a little bit. I like my music, I like my movies. I like to analyze things and people, and I like to ponder life. I like to think about the meaning of things. I like to think about how the meaning of things coincides with human existence and our brains and consciousness and souls and so forth. I guess I could give you a lot of details about my life, but I don't know, they wouldn't feel as relevant. And then the other stuff, I just probably wouldn't feel comfortable talking about. So I hope that answers your question. However, yeah, I mean, look, if you watch or listen to this or follow me on Twitter or whatever, you'll hear plenty about me. I give a lot of random, silly facts about my life all the time. So yeah, but thank you. Cause yeah, I'm like, maybe I need to talk a lot less about me. So thank you for asking. I appreciate you and I appreciate the question. And really, thank you guys so much. Like I said, anyone, whatever you want to hear about, even if you know someone or you yourself wants to come on here, feel free to reach out to me. Email johncatshow@gmail.com, Twitter johncats79. Hit me up. You can come on, you can ask questions, whatever the case may be. I really do appreciate y'all tons. I'm having another guest on very soon, so that should be up in about a week. And I hope everybody's great. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. See y'all soon. Be good.